This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Shaoning. 7:19 a.m. Tuesday, the 18th of May. Let's talk about Malaysia's population trends. Because the assumption that Malaysia will see a possible baby boom when the country was placed under a strict MCO last year, that hasn't really translated well in numbers. Instead, the Department of Statistics Malaysia, or DOSM, revealed that we will be an ageing nation by 2030, with people aged 60 years and over surpassing 15% of the population.
The COVID-19 pandemic has contributed to this, according to Chief Statistician Dato' Sri Mohamad Uzair Mahidin, with couples having to postpone wedding ceremonies to prevent the spread of the virus. Other factors include fertility problems among couples and a society focused on their career and opting for a commitment-free lifestyle. However, an aging population affects productivity and the economy at large. Singapore, one of the rapidly aging countries in Asia, has taken significant steps in boosting human capital potential, while Japan, in trying to meet the needs of their population, has implemented generous and comprehensive health insurance. But the question is, what will Malaysia do?
For some insight here, we're speaking this morning with Hawati Abdul Hamid, Senior Research Associate at the Khazanah Research Institute. Hawati, thanks so much for joining us today. So how will these changes in demographics shift household consumption as well as saving patterns?
Hello, good morning. Thank you. As you rightly mentioned, Malaysia is already considered as an aging society, whereby 7% of our population are people aged 65 and above. We are rapidly aging, whereby in 2016, we will be considered a super aging nation, with 20% of our population will be 65 and above. So what does it mean in terms of consumption and saving? For consumption, at least I can see two things. Firstly, is in terms of consumption demand, whereby due to higher population of old age, who no longer have regular income stream or reduced income, so they'll be facing a lower purchasing power, and hence our consumption demand will be weaker. Secondly, in terms of consumption, we can also see a shift in consumption pattern, whereby there'll be higher demand for care services, medical services, as well as consumer item relevant to old age people. So in terms of saving, we know that we typically accumulate saving during working age, and when we retire, we'll decumulate or we'll utilize our saving. So we can expect that the saving rate will slow down as we age, as our nation age further.
And how can we encourage, I guess, greater economic participation among the working age population that are currently outside the labour force?
Right. So right now we have about 7.2 million working age population residing outside the labour force, which means that they are not looking for a job and they do not intend to work. And 30% of these are men and 70% are women. So you can see quite a significant gender dimension in our labour force participation. And when we look at the reason why they are residing outside the labour force, there are quite prominent differences in terms of the reason for men and the reason cited by the women. For example, for men, a lot of them are not working due to the fact that they are still schooling or still educating themselves. But for women, a lot of them are not working due to housework or family responsibility, meaning that they are taking up more unpaid work. So when this is the case, more unpaid work, meaning that there will be less paid work. So addressing this kind of limitation for women is key to increase labour force participation, particularly for women. And I think there's been a lot of recommendation on how we can support more women to come to work by providing childcare facilities, flexible hour, working arrangement, as well as how we can incentivize men to also take more responsibility in terms of doing housework.
I think I'm also curious, Hawati, how this shrinking working age population will also affect skilled and unskilled workers, as well as the future of job creation.
In terms of growth for our working age population, the growth has slowed down quite significantly from average of 3% over the last decades to less than 1% right now. And likely it is due to lower number of children or lower fertility rate and so on. And of course, this will affect the number of skilled and unskilled work. And a lot of other countries have been responding to this kind of situation by relaxing their labour market policy, for example, by allowing more foreign workers to come in to fill up the labour shortage that they are facing, as well as trying to enhance the technology and automation to make up for the labour supply gap. But I think for Malaysia, maybe it'll take some time until we face a very serious problem in that front. But what more pressing right now, I think, is in terms of job creation issue for both low and high skilled worker, whereby we are facing a lot of issue in terms of underemployment and skill mismatch, of particularly for our graduate who can't really find a job that match with the skill that they're having, or they could not, some people who are of probably mid or low skill could not find a job that with adequate hour that they want, which we refer to this issue as under unemployment.
So, however, you've noted a few policies there, right? We're talking about relaxing labour market policy, maybe bringing more foreign workers in, immigration, but also getting women in the workforce is something you noted earlier. But is maybe even extending the retirement age, is that a solution to this, or at least part of the solution to this concern?
Probably that can be one solution that we can think of, particularly in terms of how we can provide income flow to people who still willing to work and probably they are not having adequate retirement saving. But I thought, like, more importantly is that we should be doing this not out of pressure, not to force people to work just because they are old, but then they are still forced to work. But what is more important, I think, is to ensure that during the working age, we should be able to provide a decent work and decent pay for our workers, so that they can enjoy a decent living as well as adequate income to save for their retirement.
It was also suggested that an employment system be provided for an aging workforce so that they are able to maintain their own savings. Do you agree with this? How might something like this work?
This solution, this recommendation can be explored in terms of how we can make people have a more fulfilled or active life post-retirement age. I would think that this should not be done out of this desperation that people are forced to be working even when they are already old. That's how the active labour market policy during working age is quite important in that regards.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Hawati. That was Hawati Abdulhamid, Senior Research Associate at Khazanah Research Institute, giving us a bit of insight into some of the policies that might be needed as Malaysia's population ages. So amongst the things that she mentioned was a relaxing, potentially relaxing the labour market policy to allow more foreign employment in order to bolster a shrinking working age population, potentially getting more women into the workforce. Shaning, what did you think listening to Hawati's conversation?
Yeah, I think we should really consider the low-hanging fruit, of which, of course, is the women getting more women into the workforce. And like she suggested, encouraging them by providing maybe childcare facilities, providing maybe the flexibility of working hours. And I think companies need to address this. It's not just a government policy, but also companies have to enforce it in some ways. But it concerns me because the aging population is going to increase significantly, and whether we as a country have sufficient social policy and social protection as this population ages. What is our spending in terms of healthcare, in terms of facilities for the aged? It's something that Malaysia, because we've always seen as this young, you know, democracy, we only got our independence in 1957, something maybe perhaps we don't think about and should consider more deeply.
Yeah, I think this is certainly something that I think, I mean, the government has, I think, cottoned on to certain worries about declining birth rates as well. So EPF can be used for fertility treatments, but more definitely needs to be done in order to prepare for this eventuality. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.